This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
After losing their fourth game of the season on Sunday, Jerry Jones was left with more questions than answers. When asked if he was disturbed by the Cowboys' run defense giving up 153 yards, Jerry, I had this to say.
I don't know that I have too many weeks regarding the Cowboys that I'm not disturbed. There are all kinds of things. About the time it's like holding two handfuls full of Jell-O, and about the time that you stop it from coming out the middle finger by the forefinger, about the time you start it over there, then it starts coming out the other side. And that's what makes this game so great. That's what makes the challenge so great. And you think you've got it figured out, and two games later, the defense you face will have had it figured out for you.
That Jell-O analogy, you know? So, Jerry, Shannon, what exactly is Jerry saying here?
Skip, you know, Jerry loves his Jerryisms and
those
colloquial sayings. But all he had to say, if it's not one thing, it's another. One week it's the offense, the next week it's the defense. Mm-hmm. And then it could have been, you know, we could have made a 38-yard field goal, get to an opportunity to onside the kick, and then we messed that up special teams wise.
Yep.
But Jerry had, you know, Jerry had to be in Jerry fashion, like holding two handfuls of Jell-O. Skip, the thing, but all that being said, and as funny as it may be, that doesn't sound like a man that's confident in his team.
True.
Does it, Skip?
True.
That doesn't sound like a man confident in his team because Jell-O. It's the inconsistency that bothers him, Skip. Mm-hmm. Basically, what Jerry's saying, I don't believe I got the right coach for this. That's what he's saying. He says, because look what I was saying. He said, coming into the season, we got a new offensive coordinator, and will Dak progress? Well, Dak has played better than you thought he would play. Mm-hmm. And all I got to show for it is a 5-4 record. With all this talent, Pro Football Focus said Dallas is the most talented football team. Top to bottom, player for player, offense, defense, special team-wise, it's the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott leads the NFL in QBR. And all I got to show for it is 5-4? Something ain't right. That's what Jerry's saying, Skip Bayless.
Okay.
And you think I like bringing bad news to you.
No.
Well, it's only going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I can only imagine what he's going to say when they're on the precipice of missing the playoffs with like three games. I don't want it right now. I want them Cowboy fans, those delusional Cowboy fans led by you. I want you to have your hopes up. I want you to think you're going to get what you think you're going to get for Christmas. And when you come downstairs, Santa left you a note.
Nothing worse than that.
You've been bad. You get jacked. That's what I want to happen to you. That's what I want to happen.
I just had a deja vu moment. I heard exactly the same thing across the table when they were 3-5 a year ago.
Okay.
So
you keep saying
I even heard it when they were 4-5 after they had gone to win at Philly.
You keep saying that.
I heard it at 5-5 and then 6-5 and 7-5 and 8-5. That's when I heard it.
And then you heard Orlando Scandrick come out here a couple of weeks ago and say the thing with the Eagles is they keep living in the past. They keep thinking that they're that Super Bowl team and they're about to jump on this magic carpet. It ain't happening.
I will give you this. The problem with this Cowboy team, it's living in the future as if as if we've got this. We're this great.
You've
got to be this great. You can't just think you're going to be that great. So back to the Jell-O analogy. It's another off-target head-scratcher from Jerry because if you actually look at it in the literal sense, Jell-O's pretty solid, so if I have two handfuls of Jell-O, it's not going to leak through my fingers, I don't think.
No. Oh, no.
If I had two handfuls of soup or something, I don't know, it would go through your fingers, right?
Jared didn't
Unless
let
you squeeze it.
That's how you make it.
Right?
Jared didn't let the Jell-O reach its full potential and let it put it in the fridge.
It wasn't in the fridge long enough.
Yeah.
That's so true.
That's what happens.
No, I think Jerry was thinking of it as like one of those balls you squeeze because you're under pressure, stress balls. Like he's squeezing the Jell-O so hard it's just squishing through every finger, and you can't plug all the leaks because it's leaking through all crevices in your hand, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we get what he was trying to say, because I always know what he's trying to say.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense how he's trying to say it.
Speak right. Jerry. That's
okay.
good.
I will give you this. This team has been wildly, dangerously inconsistent, not game to game, quarter to quarter, series to series on both offense and defense. And yet, I'm going to say this again. The only thing this team has had going for it for nine games is the quarterback. The quarterback has been extraordinary because, as you point out, as you always do, he's leading the league in QBR. Thank you for pointing that out. Mm-hmm. But here's, let me go you two better. Pro Football Focus now says the Dallas Cowboy receivers are dead last in separation. How many yards, what's the gap between the receiver and the defender when the ball arrives? They are ranked dead last. That means the degree of difficulty for the quarterback is it's the highest.
It might be because the quarterback is late with the ball and is giving the defensive back an opportunity to catch back up.
Sorry.
Have you thought about that?
No, I have not, because the Dallas Cowboys are also tied for second in drops in the National Football League. Tied for second in drops with the least separation. The quarterback he's having an MVP quality season for a team that's 5-4. So he's not in the MVP conversation because you can completely quickly disqualify him. He's 5-4.
Yeah.
Right?
What about them 8-9 picks?
Okay, well.
Disqualify. Stop doing that, Skip.
Two Hail Marys, it's just not. Okay, you can't be number one in QBR with picks that really matter. It won't work. So what are the problems? It's not the quarterback. Why are they 5-4? Well, let's start with, shall we, the running back.
Oh,
and again, I don't want to pile on here. But
you piling on.
Emmitt Smith is now eighth in the league in rush yards.
You
this
mean
is
Zeke?
The guy? I mean, I'm sorry, Emmitt Smith. Zeke Elliott.
Whoa.
Eighth in the league in rush yards. I was going to make a comparison to Emmitt Smith. Zeke is now 16th in yards per attempt. 16th? This is not my guy.
That's a hold on. What about the offensive line, Skip?
Okay, I'll give you part. That's part of this equation. That's part of the problem. All those overpaid offensive linemen have been getting their golden tails whipped all too often on too
many
downs. Yep, all of them. Well, they're not playing up to their level. Because what was Jerry's quote that we just heard? We have outstanding football players.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing outstanding football, right? Are they living? Who's living up to their contract? Well, Dak is, because his is
he superseded his contract.
Okay, and again, Zeke has fallen to 19th in Pro Football Focus's elusivity rating. You know, the making you miss. So he's 19th.
He's never been there.
Okay. But as a rookie, he had some of that going on. And I thought in
very
some,
little skill.
Okay. Well, he does. Once he got in the secondary, he could make some miss. So now this brings me to my defense, shall we? The defense is 14th in the league in takeaways. That's not a playoff defense. You know that, and I know that. This team is tied for 16th in turnover differential. They're zero, so they're flat. It's like they're not bad or good.
Whatever they get, the quarterback give it back.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. They're tied for 18th now in sacks. That won't get you the home.
No. They
should be better than that. And they have plummeted to 19th in time of possession when, remember those good old days back in 2016?
They led the league in time of possession.
Led the league. So what has changed?
Your quarterback.
No Zeke. He could pound away. And what did Dak used to be? He used to be, because you would disqualify him for this, dink and Dak.
Yep.
He's now third in the league in air distance. So he is throwing the ball, as opposed to what you believe he does, down the field. And when they score, it can be lightning striking. It can be deep strike scoring. So they're not controlling the ball for long drives keeping the defense off the field the way they used to.
Exactly. So what do we have to do about, you know, those first three drives when they didn't do anything and the defense had to get on the field?
The first three drives, they did a whole lot. They drove into Minnesota territory all three times. And what did I tell you? There were two plays in a row where Amari fell down. remember that? And on the, it was actually the previous one. Jason Witten, he hit him right in the hands to move the ball to the 25, and he dropped it.
Skip.
He dropped it.
You know what
it was a cold drop. They're tied for second in drops.
You know, I used to...
Did you believe Michael Gallup leads the league in drop passes?
First of all, no. What I don't like is you talking about, oh, they were moving the ball up and down the field, and they got the... Skip, look, you know what I did? I stopped going into Harry Winston's and Tiffany's because I couldn't buy Jack. So what good is that, Skip, if you move the ball up and down the field, you can't get the ball in the end zone? Mm. You got to be able to buy something.
I feel like you can buy plenty.
I can't afford...
Once a year, you can afford
Rochelle and Quita. I can't afford Tiffany. Tiffany costs too much. Mm. I get a red box with a stamp on it, not no blue box with a bow.
Ooh. What's a red box? Blue boxes.
Yeah, that's what Rochelle and Quita get.
Really?
Okay. No Tiffany for you. No, good to know.
I can't afford it. Just like the Cowboys can't afford to get in the end zone. Mm. And it's all your quarterback's fault. See, you know what, Skip?
All my quarterback. I just showed you. You know what? You're just dead in the water with your argument.
But Skip.
He just keeps making you eat more and more crow.
But Skip, what
all you got right now is 5-4. That's all you got.
And the Eagles have played terrible this year. And we tied for the lead with the Cowboys.
You're not tied.
We tied.
We beat you. We have the tiebreaker.
5-4.
Well, right now, if the playoffs start tomorrow, who would go?
We didn't start tomorrow.
Well, if they did, who would go? You're not tied. You lost.
Yeah, that's true.
You lost.
Can't avoid it.
I'm still in first place. You're in second place. Second place does not go to the playoffs in this division.
But here's the thing. The problem that I have is that when the Cowboys lose, you have yet to place any blame on Dak Prescott, even though he scored 3 points in three games in the first half. Mm. That's not Dak's fault. Mm. It's the running back's fault. Mm. It's the O-line. At what point in time does the quarterback take some responsibility or culpability in what's going on wrong with the offense?
Do you see a bad game that he played? Give me a bad game. Give me one where you say, that was atrocious.
See, what you're doing is that you look at, because, okay, he almost brought him back. But, Skip, he dug the hole that we ended up falling in. So, he doesn't get no credit for almost getting
out. Holes.
Yeah.
I see the defense digging a whole bunch of holes.
He scored 3 points in the first half against the Giants. He scored 3 points in the first half against New Orleans. And he scored 3 points in the first half against somebody else they lost to. Mm. So, I'm just trying, Green Bay.
Green Bay. Mm.
Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So, was Dak not the quarterback then? What good is that QBR?
Do they get to play the third and fourth quarter, or it doesn't count?
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
But here's the thing, Skip.
Games, four quarters. Show me a four quarters where you say, that was atrocious.
Skip, the thing is, you dug the hole so deep.
Russell Wilson's the runaway MVP. He throws a red zone interception that is absolutely cardinal sin unacceptable. It's indefensible. It's like, what? It's mind-blowing. He did that. It should have cost them the Monday Night Football game. Didn't hear a peep from you about that.
Because you know why?
Russell Wilson, late in the game, as early in the fourth quarter, got strip-sacked for a scoop and score. Did I hear about that on Monday? Nope. He's the MVP.
Because you
really
know what he...
Has my quarterback gotten strip-sacked for a scoop and score the whole year? Zero times.
But see, this is why I didn't mention it. Because Russell has done something your quarterback has yet to do. Dig them a hole and then dig them completely out of it. Not half the way. See, Skip, if you dig a hole, I need you to dig me all the way out, not just so I can peep over the top and see my way out.
Help me out.
I need to get out.
How deep a hole did Russ dig at home in Seattle against those same New Orleans Saints
they
that
lost.
Dallas lost to? It was 33-14 with 3 minutes to go in the football game. Help me out.
Yeah, they lost.
Is that a hole?
No.
Where was Russell Wilson, your MVP, your runaway MVP?
They lost two games.
Huh?
Your guys have lost four games.
Huh. Well, sometimes you get breaks, and his defense is way better than my defense.
And then Russ, I trust it shouldn't be. Mm. There's no way his defense should be better than yours. Mm.
It just is.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. In fact, Pro Football Focus ranks DeMarcus Lawrence the highest Cowboy defensive player at 27th. Mm. We don't even have a top 25 player. Jalen Smith's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't see how to. I'm talking about your quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm talking about your quarterback putting you in harm's way.
Extraordinary.
He's putting you in harm's way in the first half, Skip.
No.
And you're taking too many. You're taking on too much water.
Mm.
You're taking on too much water, Skip. You can't get it out fast enough.
You realize there's this thing called defense, and if the defense doesn't keep the other team out of the end zone, the scoreboard starts to tilt in favor of the visiting
team. But I need my offense. Yeah. I need my offense. Mm. You say you got the best quarterback in the NFL. Mm.
I did not say that, but he's top five.
And you tell you that, brothers, top five brother quarterbacks.
That's all you got.
Where did Lamar come on your list for that one?
Well, I mean, the top five, Mahomes, Russ, Lamar, Deshaun, Dak. I throw Dak in there. I get throw Dak a bone. That's our Cam ain't playing right now. If Cam were playing, he couldn't make the top five brothers. No mercy.
Lamar Jackson is turning his Heisman legacy into pro success as he has launched himself into the thick of the MVP race. Ravens offensive coordinator Greg Roman has built the team's offense around Lamar's unique skill set, which has helped the QB to turn a corner in his second season. NFL writer Jeffrey Chedia compared what the Ravens have done with Lamar to how the Broncos found success by tailoring their game plan around the mobile Heisman winner Tim Tebow. How about a little Tebow in the news with us? Shannon, is there any comparison between what the Broncos did for Tebow and what the Ravens are doing with Lamar?
No. They haven't done anything more than what any other team. See, this notion is that if you're a running quarterback, they tailor the offense to your skill set. Hmm. Well, hell, you don't think Aaron Rodgers' offense is tailored to what he does really well? And Tom Brady and Drew Brees? Of course.
That's all conventional. That's the way it's always been done.
That the notion that, this offense, Sean Payton, did he call plays the exact same way for Teddy Bridgewater as he did Drew Brees, or he tailored the offense to what Teddy Bridgewater does really well? Of course. Mm. Skip, look, this notion that he's the only guy that's ever had a system that was custom built for him is really disingenuous. First of all, Timbo rolled a great defense, a great field goal kicker, to an 8-8 record. They lost their last three games, Jenny, and they lost the final game of the season. 7-3. Mm-hmm. Matt Prater had to kick 60-yard field goals. You had to get a situation where the guy from Chicago runs out of bounds, stop the clock. Hold on. Something else. Mm-hmm. Lamar team. Did you know, Skip, Lamar Jackson team leads the NFL in scoring? Tim Tebow in his 11 starts, they averaged 18.5 points a game, which was 24th. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson team is averaging 33.3, which is number one. Hmm. So other than them both winning the Heisman Trophy, both having good legs, I don't really see the similarities. Hmm. Tim Tebow was never, ever as dynamic of a runner or a passer in the NFL as this kid. Mm-hmm. It's not even comparable. Hmm. So if you want to say, well, they both won the Heisman, sure, in their junior season. Hmm. Well, Tim won his in his sophomore season, excuse me. But Skip, stop. That's where it stops. That's where it ends. There's no comparison. It's not even close. Mm. And the reason why the Broncos moved on, they realized that, you know what? The likelihood of our defense holding teams to 10 points. And when they went on that five-game winning streak, Skip, they were winning games 17-13, 10-7, 13-10. You can't play like that.
Oh.
So.
Really?
No.
Those didn't count?
Skip.
They said, you didn't score enough, you lose.
Do you believe?
Right.
There's a reason why, and the reason why the Ravens, after that historic defense in 2000, they say, what's the likelihood of our defense coming back and giving up another 165 points for the entirety of the season? Mm. You're going to have to score. Mm. The one thing that this team can do, because their defense, the Ravens' defense is good, it's not dynamic, it's not great, they can put points on the board. Mm. And the Broncos, they struggled doing that. Mm. It was a defensive battle, and Matt Prater, time after time, had to walk on the field at the end of the day and kick 60-yarders, 58-yard field goals. If you think that's sustainable for a 5 or 10-year time frame, it's not.
Okay. So help me out here.
I'm
sure.
Tebow
in 2011 started 11 games stretch. And how many times did he walk into your restaurant and you said, come on in, Tim? How many times out of 11?
That's not what we
seven. Did. Seven out of 11 times he came to your restaurant and you said, come on in. And by the way, he was the most famous player who ever walked into your restaurant.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
No.
Name somebody more famous.
Dak.
Dak's lived at your restaurant.
Yeah,
he's got his own private room with bottles.
Especially last month.
Yeah. Specials as well.
Yeah. Here's what happened. Tim Tebow blazed a trail. He opened a door that Lamar is running through. And I will be the first to give you this. Lamar is a better thrower. The football, even though he's not a great thrower, but he's better than Tim Tebow, maybe markedly better than Tim.
Yeah.
Until crunch time. Tim Tebow was really good in crunch time throwing the football. But I'm also going to give you this. Lamar's a way better runner than Tim Tebow. And Tim was a credible runner in the NFL.
They were different types of runners. Okay. One was more of a bulldozer, more of a pickup truck. The other guy was a Lamborghini Ferrari.
Right, because I think Tim went 245-ish somewhere in there, right in there, 250-ish. Mm-hmm. And he could run over you occasionally on third and four. He could run over you, keep it on the read option, right? So what happened? That team was 1-4, just dead in the Denver water. And John Elway had taken over. John Fox had taken over. New regime. They did not draft Tim Tebow. Who did? Josh McDaniels, now calling plays for Tom Brady. Josh McDaniels was gone. He had gotten fired over another incident that had nothing really to do with actually coaching the football team, but he was out.
Yeah.
But what did he say? Again, I said before the draft that year, yeah, I'd take Tim at the bottom of the first round only if I was committed to letting him run his college offense.
Right.
Okay.
Well, who's going to do that? Probably nobody. But I said I would. I'd take that shot because he will win football games as a starting quarterback if you let him do what Urban Meyer let him do at Florida.
Got it.
Josh McDaniels took him 25th, bottom of the first round. And I don't know what Josh's plan was for Tim because we never got to really see it, right? He was gone in Tim's rookie year at mid-year, right?
Yep. Yeah, after they came back from London. He got his camera out, Jenny.
Yep, got his camera out, and he was out.
Yes.
So we get to the next year, and Kyle Orton is the starting quarterback for 5 games, and they are just abysmal. They are dismal. They're unwatchable. So Elway and Fox finally said, let's get this Tebow thing over with. People are clamoring for Tim Tebow. Let's give him Tim Tebow at Miami in game number 6.
Yep.
And you know the rest of the story. It's NFL history because I'm not sure any quarterback's ever gone on a more unlikely run than Tebow went on for the rest of the year. They won in overtime, thanks to Mac Prater at Miami, but he set up that field goal with a couple of big completions. And Eric Mangini, who was also on the show, he contributes here, but he's on our show on ESPN, repeatedly said in 2011, the weird thing about Tim Tebow is he gets deadly accurate in the last 5 minutes of games. It's like he's going to will the football where it's supposed to go. There's a lot of that in his intangible makeup, right?
Yeah.
So what did we see? We saw him lead the NFL in QBR over the last 5 minutes of all those 11 games leading to the playoff game at home against Pittsburgh. And what happened in that game? He threw for 316 in that game. And they rushed for a bunch of yards because guess what he had turned them into? The number one rushing attack in pro football. So the phrase that I hate the most, but I always use, there are different ways to skin this cat. Well, he was skinning it a whole different way than anybody had ever skinned it because they were leading the league in rushing. They were controlling the football. They were often keeping the defense off the field. It had been awful for the first 5 games. It had the capability with Von Miller to be pretty good. And yet that style, that sort of recipe was winning a lot of football games.
It was.
Okay, so it worked. And then I saw something in that article you mentioned that that Tebow couldn't sustain. Well, he never got a chance to sustain it because that was the end of Tim Tebow, as we knew and for a moment loved him. Because Denver had Peyton Manning knocked on the door in the offseason. Can I play here? Yeah. Would I go with Peyton Manning over Tim Tebow? You better believe
They was moving on if had Peyton not knocked on their door.
Okay, well, whatever. So Rex Ryan acquired Tim Tebow and promised him, according to Tim on the phone, I'm going to give you a shot to win the starting job. He didn't get a shot with the Jets. So again, they weren't going to give him a chance to do what Urban Meyer did at Florida.
Well, he went to, what's it called, Skip? Philly.
Okay, but that was in the preseason. He actually played pretty well. And
no,
I
don't know what happened. I came on your show and told you he wasn't going to make it.
Okay, well, he was playing pretty well.
No,
he was not playing. Pull that tape.
Okay, and then Belichick just liked the kid, so we brought him to camp for a minute.
Hold on, you mean to tell me the guy that drafted
him? Did anybody give Tim Tebow a shot? Anybody give him that kind of shot? Did anybody say, I'm going to go into game one next year doing this with Tim Tebow? I'm going to let him run the read option, the zone read the whole year.
Well, Skip.
Did anybody do that? No. Nobody did.
Because they was like, unless you got the 85 Bears, the 2000 Ravens, or the 02 Bucks, to have an outstanding defense that's going to keep the game. Because what happens if the score is 35-0 the last 5 minutes of the game? He's moot. It doesn't matter.
They didn't get behind 35.
That was my point. The defense had to keep the game close.
Well, they had a decent defense.
They hadn't
played very well. Because you know what happens when you have a Tim Tebow? He lifts the whole squad. Everybody starts playing at a higher level because he's fun to be around and it's contagious energy.
Well, you Skip, you do know after he won that 18-15 game in overtime in Miami, he came right home and got beat 45-14 by Detroit.
Yep.
And there were some games which they got blown out. Remember they went to Buffalo? Last 3 games, they got blown out. Okay. And then they lost at home 7-3. Mm-hmm. When do you see a game 7-3?
Yeah, but there's a whole bunch of games. We don't have time to go through all the seven wins. There are some impressive wins in there.
But Skip, there were two impressive wins in there. There were the Raiders win. He scored 38, and I think he scored 35 against someone else.
At Minnesota,
mm-hmm. yes. But other than that, Skip, 10-7, 13-10, 17-13. Skip.
How about 29-23 over Roethlisberger and the Steelers? Geez. Well, how about that?
Skip.
And by the way, do you remember that last pass in overtime? I haven't seen that in a long time.
No, Skip, don't do it.
It?
Oh, my God.
Just to remind everybody, look at this. He can't throw, but, that was a good pass. Damaris is loose. He's loose.
So how much is this? Is Tim, how much is this DT?
I was going to say.
This was the greatest moment of my game-watching life right there. That was it.
Of your life?
I fell on the floor. Of my life.
Yes.
Of my life. I fell on the floor, and I couldn't believe it had just happened.
Why are you playing zero?
I rolled over and over like I was on fire.
Why are you playing zero? Why are you playing zero in this situation?
No, don't try to nitpick. It just happened.
You know
why? You know why? Because they didn't think he could throw. Well, boom. Gotcha.
There you go.
Yep. The sky fell on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I tell you what, I give you 2011 Tim Tebow, or I give you right now Lamar Jackson.
Well,
who are you taking?
Well, obviously I'm taking Lamar Jackson, but do not underestimate Tebow in his prime. He's an older player now, but the winning intangibles were off the charts.
Well, Lamar got those.
Yeah, I think he does too. I would agree. But I'm just saying that blazed the trail. Thanks to Mike McCoy. I got to give Mike McCoy some credit because he just scrapped the whole offense. Kyle Orton's offense and said, no, we're going to do this. And all of a sudden, Willis McGahee and Tim Tebow are leading the league in rushing. Mm-hmm. That'll work.
Yeah.
That's another way to score.
But what happens if you don't lead the league in rushing?
Okay.
And you got to throw the ball.
Okay, but you did lead the league in rushing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what?
But the Ravens not leading the league in rushing. Okay, he throwing the ball.
At least the blueprint got laid down right before the league's eyes. Wait a second, they did that.
Skip.
They won a playoff
Lamar
game.
Lamar Jackson is fourth in the NFL through four quarters, not leading the NFL the last 5 minutes of the game.
I got it. I didn't say Tim Tebow's better than Lamar, but at least somebody said, watch this. This had never been done before in this league. Not like this.
Okay.
That was all read option. It was all college offense. No mercy.
So with less than 2 minutes left in the game, Clippers head coach Doc Rivers got into a heated argument with officials over a miscommunication about how many timeouts the Clippers had. Doc's son, Austin, who plays for the Rockets, was signaling to officials to throw his dad out of the game. After Doc was ejected, Austin then was waving to the crowd, getting them pumped up, and gave his dad the phone signal as if to kind of say, give me a call later. Yeah. So after the game, Austin tweeted, well, Thanksgiving, gonna be a bit weird. Doc said he didn't mind what Austin did. Shannon, what do you make of all this?
I loved it. That's my dad, but not for these 48
not
minutes
right
while
now.
We playing the game, Skip. Mm-hmm. And all the time you made me go to my room, go to the coach's room. Loved it, Tebow. You hear this man yelling and screaming and cursing, team up!
So you're saying it's like a little kid would do, right?
Yep.
I got you, Daddy.
Yep. Right? Team up.
Okay.
Skip, I was very fortunate enough to play against my brother twice when he was with the Packers, I was with the Broncos. Get him! Don't let him catch it! Team up! You get nothing. When they knock a pass out, you get nothing. No!
Yeah, but when you were playing one-on-one growing up and he kept beating you, you take the ball and throw it over the fence.
I did. Oh, hold on. Yeah. Who told you that?
You told it on the air.
Why are you bringing a bowl stuff?
Throw it over
you
the
told
fence.
It in the air.
I did.
Well,
God.
Thank you. I got you again.
You guys remember.
I have exactly what I would do, and he would tell my grandma she'd make me go in the woods and get it. But Skip, he just, look, I thought it was funny. I was like, because at first I'm like, am I seeing him say, like, T is dead? He wanted that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's going to be 3 points. Doc is upset, Skip, because he thought he had a timeout. Mm-hmm. And he's pointing to the official. He told me I had a timeout. The guy that told him, he allegedly told him he had a timeout, he was down at the other end. It was Tony Brothers like, bro, you ain't got no timeouts. Mm-hmm. And I guess the trainers that keep track of the timeouts, because they're normally like, how many timeouts do I have? You got two, or you got one, we got no more. X got 4 fouls, he got 5 fouls. There are people that track that. And so I guess the trainer told Doc that he had a timeout left. One of the officials told Doc he had a timeout left, and come to find out, Doc didn't have any timeouts left. And so Doc is upset. You told me I had a timeout. And his son, Austin, like, nah, give him a T. That's what he gets. He got one of those, a T. Yeah. And he won't stop. You know what? Like a kid, you tell your kid, didn't I tell you to stop? Now, okay. Doc wouldn't stop, so he had to get him another. He had to get tall. Get him up out of here. Hey, Dad, call me. Because I ain't going to be able to talk to you right after the game. But call me. You got my number. Call your boy.
Then he tweeted right after the game, Thanksgiving is going to be really weird.
I love it.
So I'm going to go a little deeper with this one. Because I know Doc and I know Austin a little bit, enough to know it has haunted and tormented both of them that the sort of label put on Austin has always been he's only in this league because his father is so respected and beloved by all the other coaches, and that his father has opened doors that no other kid would have gotten open,
right.
That he's still afloat in this league after these many years,
right.
Mostly because of his father. And it drives both of them pretty nuts.
Right.
So the poignant undertone to this little scenario was Austin finally saw an opening to show everybody, show the world on national TV and certainly show the home crowd. When we're playing, I'm not my father's son.
Correct.
I'm going to lay it on thick here. And I have never seen Austin come out of his shell quite like he came out of that shell because he's not a grandstander. He's not a showboater.
Right.
And that was kind of showboaty to me, wasn't it?
Yep.
Like he's just laying it on, man. He's really playing to the crowd.
Yeah,
yep. Tee him up. Right. Because he's trying to send a message to the home fans and to his teammates. I want him teed. Want him tossed.
Get out of here.
Get him out of
my
here.
My house.
You know, and then he keeps laying on thick. Oh, call me, like, sarcastically.
Yeah.
Like, we'll talk later about this. And with the media after the game, he said, you know, I'm not an escalator by nature. When there are fights, I don't try to get in the middle of it. I stay out of it.
Right.
But he got right in the middle of this, and he escalated this situation for the home crowd, right?
Yes.
Because he's sick and tired of being perceived as Doc's son, right?
The term they use is nepotism.
Nepotism.
And Skip, the thing, okay, maybe he got an opportunity, but I think there have been times that he showed he belongs in this league.
Boy, I agree with you.
Now, okay, granted, I guess when Doc left, because I think he was at the Celtics, and when Doc left, I think he was at Pelicans. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he ended up at the Clippers.
So Austin started at the Pelicans. And I liked him at Duke. I thought he was right. Remember, he had the big shot
against
Carolina.
Yep.
And he had hits and misses with the Pelicans. He was okay.
Right.
But then Doc acquires him with the Clippers.
Right.
Thought he was pretty good.
Yeah.
There's always a clash of, is Doc playing his kid?
Right.
Playing favorites?
Yeah. And I guess, you know, Big Baby was on here and said that a lot of that had to do with if he wasn't Doc's son, he wouldn't have got minutes. He
Correct.
Probably wouldn't even been on the team.
Correct.
And so I'm sure for Big Baby Glenn Davis, who's Big Baby, for him to say that, I'm sure he wasn't the only one that felt that way.
Correct.
And so that, you know, and I get
so it. So what was Doc finally forced to do? He had to trade his son away to, I think it was Washington, and then he got traded to some Phoenix, and they waived him, and he bounced.
Right.
Bounced around and wound up. He found a home with Houston. He's a good fit for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I will say it kind of took the onus off him last night because he had a bad game. He shot the ball pretty poorly last night.
Yeah.
You see this? It's not very good.
He was 3 of 12, 1 of 8 from 3.
1 of 8, okay. So, again, it took the focus, all the antics took the focus off a bad game by him that his team managed to win. But he did not help his team. He went 0 for 4 in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So, the point is that I think Doc said he loved it after the game because he knew exactly what his son was trying to do, what the message was trying to be sent.
Fair.
And Doc was seriously steamed about this and had a right. And he used the word he said, I got screwed.
Right.
Because they took a timeout away that he deserved.
Right.
And he knew it. And he called them on it. And then he said, I did not curse to them. He said, I did not swear was the word he used.
Yeah.
And yet he persisted. And then Tony Brother said, well, he's making a scene out on the court and we're ready to resume play.
Right.
And if you persist, and I think Doc knew the handwriting was on the wall because they were down 8 at that point with a minute something left.
Yep.
And he said, I'll just go ahead and get tossed.
Yeah, okay, you already gave me one tee. I'm just going to walk to the center of the court and just go keep walking because I already know what you're going to do.
Yep.
They got Caldwell Pope last night. The official said, okay, now, you made your point. Let it go. And he said one more word. He said, okay, that's it. Now, hey, look here. Okay, make your point. What'd you say?
Yeah.
I missed a foul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll make sure. If I missed it, I apologize. Okay, we done with this conversation.
Yep.
Now, I told you we were done with it.
Yep. So I see this this label on Austin upside down from the way most people do. I have nothing but respect for Austin because he's had a higher degree of difficulty
right.
to me because people always look at him like, come on.
Right.
You're only here because of Doc.
Right.
Well, then if he misses shots, people are going to say, get him out of here.
Exactly.
Right?
And the thing is, Skip, is that Doc almost has to be harder on him in front of everyone than he normally would because they already think he's showing favoritism. Mm-hmm. So even if the slightest little thing, he has to jump on him to show, I'm not showing favoritism. And I often go home like, Dad, what was that about? Mm. That wasn't even my fault. That was Chris Paul that threw that bad pass. I know, son. Because, you know, sometimes that's how you get to the other guys is that you harder on the guys that you know that can take it.
Yep.
So,
hey, Austin Rivers has guts.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, I mean, his dad was a heck of a player.
Yep.
It is hard, though, to be an athlete's son, to be a coach's son, because
you have to play for your dad?
Have to play for him. I mean, that dynamic alone doesn't work in a lot of cases.
I wouldn't wish it on anybody. It's like a can't-win situation.
No. There's no way I could have played for my granddad because I'd be coming home and telling my grand on him every night.
Yep.
It wouldn't have no effect. The thing. It was interesting, though. That's a good point of separating the two last night. It was a rare shot for him to do that. No mercy. After the Clippers beat the Lakers on opening night, the West has been owned by the purple and gold. The Lakers, who cruised to an easy win against the Warriors last night, are 9-2. Meanwhile, the Clippers dropped their game to the Rockets and are now 7-4. The good news, though, for the Clippers, Paul George expected to make his season debut tonight against the Pelicans. So we are now joined by Fox Sports NBA analyst Rick Bucher. Good to have you back with us.
Good to be back.
It's that time of year. Going forward, who you got? Who has the edge in L.A.?
I assume we're only talking about this as a debate because Shannon is here. Because to me, there really is no debate.
What? Mm.
There is.
Did we not see the first meeting between these two without Paul George? Mm. The Lakers may have a comparable record. But if we're talking about how these two particular teams match up, and I assume that's what we're looking at, mm-hmm. is what's it going to be like if and when they meet in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. The Clippers just have way too much for the Lakers. They can send multiple quality defenders at Anthony Davis and wear him down. They can send multiple defenders at LeBron James and wear him down. They can play slow. They can play fast. They can score from the perimeter. They can do all the things that you need to be able to do in the postseason, and the Lakers are simply hoping that they can be what they are now at the end of the year. And that rides heavily on making sure that LeBron James and Anthony Davis are 100%. And so that is their great challenge, is to be able to get there. That's the only shot that they have at competing with the Clippers, with the one caveat. The one X factor is Kyle Kuzma. If you believe that Kyle Kuzma can be a genuine star and they can find a way to incorporate him and allow him that space with Anthony Davis and LeBron James doing what they do, then maybe, just maybe. But if I look at the way they are right now and I look at Kyle Kuzma never having been to the playoffs before and what weight he would have to carry in that matchup, it's not close. The Clippers' depth and their experience and their versatility, there's just too much there.
If you don't mind me asking.
Yes.
The season's what, 3 weeks old?
Yes.
And tonight is what, Paul George's first game, right?
Yes.
So health is an issue for him, correct?
It could be, but...
What was last year? So what was happening last year that he had to start missing those games?
Well, he had the two shoulders.
So health is an issue.
Sure.
Well, you got him fixed.
Hold on, time out.
Exactly.
No, okay, fine. Kawhi.
Yes.
Is Kawhi load managing? So health could be an issue.
Yeah.
The very thing that you asked me about LeBron and AD,
yes,
health being an issue, it could be an issue for these
But
guys.
Here's the distinction. Those two guys, I can rest them. I can load manage with them, and I can still be a quality team. This is a Clippers team without these two guys that was a playoff team last year.
Yes.
They can function with those guys playing limited minutes and taking nights off. Please don't bring up the Warriors game last night evidence that they can play without one of their stars.
No. But I also understand, Skip, is that if I'm not mistaken, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both are threes. They're both wing players, play the exact same position. I think it's easier to blend a three and a four as opposed to two threes. So because we already have established our pecking order, AD, LeBron. What's the pecking order when Paul George
came back? Their pecking order is called defense. Two wings work really well on
defense. Oh, they play defense?
Yeah.
So how did James Harden get all these points? How did old Booker get all these points?
Was Paul George there? No. Is Kawhi
load, Leonard. Yeah. Kawhi
load management.
You saw Kawhi. Right. He wanted no parts of James Harden last night.
He wants no parts of James Harden at this point in the
Thank
season.
Thank you.
If we get to the playoffs, trust me, Kawhi Leonard.
Shannon, I already told you, Kawhi Leonard does not do November 13th at Houston.
So I'm asking, I get that. Mm-hmm. So why don't you and everybody else have that same energy about LeBron not playing defense in the regular season?
No, actually, here's the distinction. I believe that LeBron is playing more defense now than he has in years.
He has.
Right. No doubt. But here's the question. Can he do that this entire year? This is my question when it comes to the Lakers and their depth. Can LeBron give the energy that he has to this point in order for them to be what they are? Can he do that all season long and then be able to go in the postseason and be 100%?
You know why he can't?
At age 35.
You know why? Because he believes this team has a chance. He know good and well that team last year.
Oh, agreed.
Wasn't going anywhere.
He was load managing last year. He was like, what am I playing for?
If he was the best player on the planet, he might have carried him for a couple of rounds.
If the best player on the planet had to snuck off and had a secret meeting in Malibu and say, please go get me Paul George, he'd have been the best player. Mm. But he demanded Paul George because you know why? Because he can't pull that weight like old King James can.
You
take
sound
it away.
Threatened.
That's I ain't threatened
sound.
By nothing.
You sound haunted.
Give me Goat.
The specter of Kawhi Leonard in the same building your king
I'll
used
take
to
Goat,
rule.
I'll take Goat James over Kawhi and Paul George. I'll double up. It's better than yours.
So, I'm going to be fair to you at this moment.
Are you suggesting I was not?
No. You were just cold-blooded facts.
You were
cold, hard facts right in his face. And I felt bad, and I was going to say we should just stop the show right there because it was game over. You just said game, set, match. Your turn, Shannon, is like, what? I have to talk to
you? You will see. You're going to find out. Y'all going to find out the hard way.
I'm going to help you a little bit because I got to tell you, the Lakers have impressed me in ways I did not see coming because Rob Pelinka is my early GM or executive of the year because Kawhi Leonard left him for dead. He left that team for dead. He bamboozled them. He took them for a long ride, and then he left them not high and dry, low and dry. And Pelinka had to scramble. And what he threw together on the fly is it's pretty good.
Okay.
Because I like Avery Bradley, and I've always liked Danny Green. And I've always liked Quinn Cook as a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. LeBron made that case the other night. He's about as good as there is in the league at just catching and shooting. He can make clutch threes. And Kyle Kuzma will be the closer for this team. And I agree with your point. Can he close when it really matters in the biggest stage, biggest games? I don't know.
But that's what we got Goat James for.
Okay.
So when it comes to the biggest stage and the biggest game, you know old Goat can do that.
To close?
Yeah.
What Goat have you been watching?
Oh, Goat James?
That's what he does.
I've been watching it for 16 years.
Well, I haven't ever seen him close.
Don't do that, Skip.
Boy, I saw him try to close the other night at Phoenix. He went 3-for-9 in the fourth quarter and 0-for-3 from the free throw
What about did Kawhi close last night?
No, he's not a great closer either, but Sweet Lou is one of the best closers in basketball. And last night in the fourth quarter, he let everybody down on his team. He went 1-for-6 in the fourth quarter. And every once in a while, he's capable of just having a cold hand.
It's called being human.
Yeah.
But guess what? Okay. We're about to get Iggy, too.
Okay.
Here's what I like the most. Memphis.
Right now on this Lakers roster, they have more guys with multiple all-defensive team numbers than any team's ever had. If you add up all the all-defensive teams that LeBron and AD and Dwight and Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo have made, because he made four.
And Danny Green.
Okay, and Danny Green. I'm sorry, it's a good one.
Danny Green.
So if you add them all up, no team, no collection of players have ever had a combined all-defensive team appearances like this team does.
Yeah.
Okay, so it has a core of defensive mindset. And I think Frank Vogel's a good defensive coach. I think he really does live and breathe defense, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you have that going in ways that I obviously didn't see last year's Lakers play any defense.
Yeah, and you see Dwight Howard. You see old Dwight?
Well, I don't even know who he is.
You know who he is.
Whole new look.
Three teams consecutive defensive player of the year.
Skinny Dwight.
Giving it to him.
Yep.
You see JaVale?
Yep. He can play.
JaVale look like a new guy.
Well, here's the thing. Then this is what you have to give LeBron. You have to give LeBron guys who know how to play off of him. The difference between him playing with young players and veteran players, you couldn't have a greater example of that than last year versus this year.
Right. Okay.
You need to have that. Now, the problem is that all those guys, first of all those defensive accolades, were from a couple years ago.
Oh, I know. I got
it. It's a little mindset. Vintage. It's just I agree with that. But it's defense when you play slow. They need to play slow.
Oh, yeah.
And when they play slow, their offense is not as good.
Correct.
And that's the tricky part here is for their defense to be as good as it needs to be. If you play fast, you can beat them in transition.
Oh, yeah, but that's what the whole thing. That's the whole thing. If you notice, they got back against Phoenix because the night before Toronto, they was 32-8. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't win a ball game like that. So LeBron said, and that's why LeBron likes to have the ball because he loves controlling pace. He loves controlling tempo.
But what if
he normally plays slow.
He does, but people are starting to say, boy, he's starting to turn into Magic. He's playing the Magic role for this team. Magic ran Showtime fast breaks.
Right.
This is slow time. Yep. It is. It's slow time.
But you saw last night. You saw what he did last night. He's like, I turned it over to AD. No AD. Let me show you what I got. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah. Okay. Against Golden State, I was impressed.
Hold on. Rick.
They're the worst team in the Western Conference right now.
2-10 Warriors.
Hey, Rick. Yeah. Okay, when LeBron went to Golden State without Kyrie and Kevin Love, did you say, what did you say?
Well, are we talking about the same team?
No,
it's the same franchise.
Yeah,
but
I'm saying when they had their superstars, Steph, Klay, Draymond, did you feel sorry for LeBron when he went there without Kevin Love and Kyrie?
No.
Oh, I didn't think you did.
I felt sorry for him when they're up 2-1 in his house. He just came up small as mini.
I gotta tell you what I did feel sorry for him when I was on your show and I told him I'm going to that parade when they were down 3-1. I said, I'm going to the parade, Skip. Anybody know it's over.
Want to know the truth? He actually backtracked on that position. You gave up on it. The last time you were on the show, we were actually about to sign off at the end of the show, and you said, no, I give up. They're not going to win it.
And we came
roll the tape.
You can't do that right now.
I came back, and guess who was at the parade?
He actually went to the parade uninvited.
I'm sure.
No, they got me. They rolled out
uninvited.
The red carpet. Backstage access.
He's photobombing LeBron James at the parade.
Introduction.
Kyrie, Kevin Love, all of them. Mm-hmm. I was there. But you're going to eat those. What's today's date?
14th.
11? 14, 2019.
Yes.
Today's the day.
Rick Bucher.
Yes.
Says no.
Not close.
Hold up. Eat words.
No. I'm not eating those words today.
Oh, you're eating. I'm gonna make sure.
Said. Oh my goodness.
Good. So why did Anthony Davis miss the game last night? It wasn't load management. He's got some kind of rib issue on top of an ongoing shoulder issue because he's always got some kind of physical issue.
Kind of like Kawhi.
Kind of like Kawhi.
You see him putting ice on Kawhi Lee? Did you see that last night, Rick? Did you watch? They put ice on his knee. He was standing on the side and they rubbing his knee down.
No, they wrapped it with an
I mean.
Already? You know he don't play back-to-back. He's not playing tonight.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He did the same thing last year.
He did it all year.
That was a different year. See, you can't always play.
What's different?
Hold on. So every year, so if I do something the exact same this year, I'm going to get the exact same results the following year.
Sure. Why not?
Stop it.
It works.
You know good well sports don't work like that, Rick. You've been around the business too long.
So, Shannon Sharp, John Hollinger wrote in The Athletic, Kawhi Leonard has a condition called tendinopathy in his knee.
That ain't what you said. You said he quit. You said he got quititis.
That was over the thigh bruise in San Antonio. That was a long time ago.
Right.
But this is a new issue
in his knee, which
is basically damage to a tendon that will not get better.
So, hold on. So, this could be reoccurring. So, he might miss another 73 games.
Yeah, but he had it last year.
He had it early in the playoffs.
And he got done what you needed to get done. And he didn't have a Paul George next to him.
So why he tell that lie? He said there's no issue, and I don't see why it will be an issue that I will miss time.
Well, because one, and this is what I appreciate. Anthony Davis says, I've had this shoulder issue, and I've been playing with it for a long time. I'm still of the school, if you're playing, then I don't want to hear about whatever you're playing with.
Thank you.
You're playing. Great. And so otherwise, the mentality is I'm giving myself an out, that if things don't quite work out the way I want them to, that this is an issue. Kawhi Leonard, we're hearing about his injuries from a lot of other people in terms of what they are, from Hollinger, from everybody else. Kawhi Leonard saying, I'm working my way towards the playoffs. I have my mind on one thing. I want to be ready to play when it comes to the playoffs. I'm not talking about anything else. I respect and I admire that approach as opposed to, yeah, you know, I got this thing.
But here's the thing. When I see a 28-year-old sit his ass on the bench, I know he bull jiving. He 28. You know what 28, you superstar.
He showed me everything he needed to show me last year in terms of how he got to the finish line, and he got it done.
Correct.
He got it done for the Toronto Raptors.
So right now, LeBron is all about November, and Kawhi is all about...
Make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Kawhi Lowe...
Are you going to write something else? You got something else going
Kawhi
there?
Kawhi Lowe manages, and the Golden State Warriors are 100% healthy. Yeah. What did he get? They winning. Are they beating Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, if that bunch is 100%? Simple yes or no.
But you're talking about the wrong guy because I told you last year that they would break down physically because of those 5 years.
Yeah.
I told you that the Warriors were going to be compromised.
So in other words, he didn't beat the whole team.
No, but then LeBron James didn't beat the whole team when they came back from 3-1. I mean,
was Draymond there for game 6-7?
He was not there for the pivotal game.
Well, you can't kick the man.
Andrew Bogut wasn't there. Look, we could go back and
forth. Don't do that.
You could say the same thing when the Warriors beat the Cavs. Kevin Love's not there.
But don't nobody say that. They say LeBron. Somebody keep telling me LeBron blew a 2-1 lead. That's what I keep hearing.
Well, he did. In his house, you're up 2-1.
And the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. We can say that.
With a unanimous MVP.
You know what, Shannon? Paul George is back, and I'm going to give the Clippers the edge. Because
you give them all you want to, but we're going to show you. What we're going to do is we're going to send a statement immediate for release. Like that statement that Cavs agency.
Yeah.
Criminal day. We got something for you, Rick. Make sure you're there.
Statement. Okay. Okay.
What do they always say, the old adage? The season starts in the NBA.
That ain't what Rick said. Rick said the season started opening night.
It was a statement game because it was those two teams head-to-head.
Yes,
head
100%. So 100%. Who owns L.A.? Yeah. Your man, regardless of what he said, your man came out to prove a point, and he did for two quarters.
My man went trying to prove no point. But prove what point?
Oh, come on.
I was there.
Go James went 0 for 2 in the fourth quarter, and Anthony Davis didn't even make a point.
0 for 2. So he was really trying to show up because you saw the other night, Skip, he put up 9 shots in Phoenix, against Phoenix, but he put up 2 shots, and he's trying to prove a point making 2 shots, putting up the ball twice.
He was playing the Clippers and not the Phoenix.
Oh, stop it.
All right.
Bottom line, the Clippers will be readier for May than the Lakers will be ready for
May. Okay, we're going to find out.
Yep.
I don't want no excuses. I don't want to hear nothing about no low Kawhi this and Paul George. He got his hair braided too tight. I don't want to hear none of that.
I don't know.
Because we're going to mollywop them.
I'm warming up to the load management because it seems obvious.
I ain't warming up to it, Rick,
and it's always good to have you here.
They not pay him on the days he take off?
Yeah, maybe that's what we should come to. Okay. No mercy. The Super Bowl loss 2 years ago to the Eagles is something Tom Brady still thinks about. Ahead of the Patriots-Eagles matchup this Sunday, Brady admitted that it's something he hasn't moved on from. Take a listen.
You assume I'm over it.
Yeah. This is Tom Brady. You think he forgets this?
Never going to be over
now. That's a lot of mental scar tissue from that year. So that was a tough game. But in a lot of ways, I think we learned from that year and we came back stronger the next year and we won the Super Bowl in 18. So I think everything is a matter of perspective. And I think when you play in that game and you play great teams, you're not going to win them all.
All right, Fox Sports contributor Rob Parker now with us. But since Skip is pounding on the table, I'm going to start with you on this
one. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, he's ready to go. He's been warming up.
About that good morning.
Who deserves more blame, Skip, in your mind for Super Bowl 52, that loss? Brady or Belichick?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yes, seriously.
Bill Belichick deserves 100% of the blame for that Super Bowl because that game will and should go down as the biggest regret of Tom Brady's career. Bill Belichick cost Tom Brady his 7th Super Bowl ring against the Eagles on that fateful day. Tom Brady threw for an all-time playoff record, 505 yards, and the Patriots scored 33 points, which should have been enough to win a Super Bowl game, and that was against a top 5 Eagles defense that season. And Bill Belichick tried to polish his genius before the NFL world and the Super Bowl audience by elevating Eric Rowe into the starting lineup in place of Malcolm Butler. Why did he do that? Because Bill Belichick had bamboozled those Eagles. He had acquired Eric Rowe after the Eagles had taken him in the second round and given up on him. So Belichick said, watch this. I'll beat the Eagles with their cast-off cornerback, Eric Rowe, and I will bench Malcolm Butler, who played the most snaps in the regular season on my whole defense. I'm going to bench him for the whole game without explanation or reason except to polish my ego. He wouldn't even put him in the second half when it got more dire circumstance, to the point that they're giving up 41 points to the Eagles' backup quarterback, Nick Foles. They made Nick Foles the Super Bowl MVP, and Brady was kind of yucking it up on the radio interview, but trust me, that burns in his soul that Belichick cost him that game by giving up 41 to Nick Foles. I've never seen anything quite like it, but you still say he's a genius on defense.
He is.
He tried to prove it, and it blew up in his face, and more importantly, in Tom Brady's face.
You know what, Skip, and I've told you this before, the losses stick longer with you than the wins, because when you win the game, Skip, there's always going to be celebratory. When you lose the game, there's nothing you can do to get that taste out of your mouth. Mm. So I'm not surprised that Tom Brady, the Jacksonville Jags, lost. And as Tom said, they used that loss to fuel them. We used it to fuel us. We won back-to-back Super Bowls.
After you lost to Jacksonville.
After we lost to 96.
At home in the playoffs.
At home, 96 in the division.
Mark Brunell.
Mark. Skip.
Mark Brunell.
Go ahead. You got to open the wounds.
Like, remember.
Nick Foles, Mark Brunell. Go
still
ahead.
Still hurts.
But anyway, Skip. Well, since you want to put it like that, you know, Bill Belichick cost him his seventh Super Bowl. Bill Belichick won the Seattle Super Bowl. Mm. Bill Belichick won the Rams Super Bowl. So Tom Brady could easily have a couple of more losses on the
resume. Wait a second. What, Tom Brady threw for 124 in the fourth quarter against Seattle and two touchdowns. But it's the Legion of Boom.
But let me ask you a question. You see, you just said now he threw for 505. Mm-hmm. And what did it get him? Because the defense
got him 33 points.
Because the defense didn't stand on his head. Mm. So you can't use that. See, Skip, at the end of the day.
Stand on its head. It got knocked on its head. 41 points?
At the end of the day, your guy had the costly turnover. Oh. Your guy dropped the pass, a perfect pass from Danny Amendola. That's what you're supposed to catch it.
Wait, over Tom Brady, does he double as a wide
receiver? Whoa! Nick Foles did. Mm. Nick Foles did. Mm. He's down in the Hall of He's going down to the. Not only did he win the MVP, which is, you know, there's only, 53 of those. He's won one. He got his play. The Philly special is in the Hall of Fame. Mm. There is no paraphernalia from the New England Patriots going to the Hall of Fame because we don't accept losers' merchandise.
Nick Foles was recruited to play college basketball.
Okay, then what they got to do with
That's
him catching?
That's how good he
is. What they got to do with him catching a pass over his shoulder?
Well, he can catch.
Snagged it.
Yeah. And Skip, I'm just surprised at you because it's not about the
yards.
Yes.
Me?
Yeah.
It's not about the yards. It's about points. Isn't that what wins a game?
Yes. Mm.
So Tom Brady in that Super Bowl left some points on the field.
33. No loser has ever scored more points.
But he had 505 yards, but I'm telling you, he only had three touchdowns. And here's the other part that you're bringing up. He coughed up the football with 2:16 to go.
In the fourth quarter.
They were down by five. Brady's driving. Here's your chance to win another Super Bowl. He coughed up the football. Shannon also brought up the catch that was definitely makeable, which was a big play that Tom Brady didn't make.
It's going to go for 8 yards.
And first down.
And this is even better. I can make the case that Tom Brady actually lost all three Super Bowls by himself. Not only did he lose that Super Bowl, let's go back to when they were 18-0 in 2007. Mm-hmm. They were averaging 36.8 points a game. Plaxico Burress said that they would win that game 23-17. Tom Brady laughed and said, oh, we're only going to score 17 points. They only scored 14 points.
Okay, but with 2 minutes left, 17, he drove them 80 yards for the 14th point.
They got 14-10. They got 14 points.
Then what happened?
So in other words, they got 22 fewer than what they did.
Than they normally did. They killed everybody. I'm talking about that was Tom.
It was Belichick's defense that gave up an 83-yard drive.
No, Skip, they only gave up 17 points. Brady only scored 14.
Okay, but they're ahead 14-10 with 2 minutes left.
Super Bowl 46.
Wes Welker's wide open, Shannon. Skip, you were on. We were on TV that next morning.
I said it.
You can't back down now.
Okay, we're talking
you
about
it.
Wait a second.
On TV that
time
next
out.
Morning.
We're talking
you
about.
You admitted he missed Wes
Welker. We're talking
Welker.
About the Eagles.
No, no. That he blew all three Super Bowls that the Patriots have lost, where Tom Brady didn't play or perform as well as he had previously.
I gave you, he made one bad throw in 9 Super Bowls. He made one bad throw
Welker.
That most people that Welker should have caught. Even
we
you
agree.
Say Welker should have caught it.
He should have caught it.
Okay, it wasn't an awful throw. He didn't overthrow him by 10 yards.
He was
yards.
Wide open, Skip.
Okay,
but what about that? What about that fumble?
Okay, he is desperate because they're having to overcome 41 points that the defense is giving up, and he gets a little careless, and Brandon Graham reached out and knocked the ball out of his hands. But then what did he do on the very last play of the Super Bowl? Did you see him put a move on Brandon Graham, an athletic move?
There was no athletic move. He sidestepped.
Well, yeah, well, this is big time. And look at this throw. Okay, he escapes Brandon Graham. That was athletic. And he throws.
Hit it, Fletch.
Yep, he knocked him down. How does Gronk not come up and catch this ball? He's 6'6"
There's
tall.
There's 4 guys there. Okay. Yeah.
Are they yanking him down from behind? It sure looked like it because that wasn't much of a leap.
Oh, so you want him to go replay
is
that guy.
Is that not pretty a hard. Perfect pass to Rob Gronkowski? Did that not almost hit him right in the hands?
Okay,
Tom. Go up and catch it.
Skip.
He's 6'6". Skip. That's a perfect
Hail Mary. But you like to talk about Tom Brady in the fourth quarter against Atlanta and against Seattle. Tom Brady in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia. 9 of 16, 100 yards, a touchdown. Down and a fumble.
Okay, a big fumble. That was the game.
Okay,
they were down by 5, Skip. They could have won that game.
100 yards. He threw for and he threw
fumble!
For a touchdown. Okay. You know what? He is human, and every once in a while he makes a mistake.
Okay,
the
thing.
But he was trying to overcome 41 points
but
given
he still
up
had
by the genius.
Despite the 33
41.
Points, he still could have won that game with 2:16
Shannon,
to go and the football.
Do you defend Bill Belichick's game plan for that game? 41 points?
I stand behind Coach Belichick because Coach Belichick won a Super Bowl, Tom Brady. His first Super Bowl when he threw one touchdown the entire playoff. Can you defend that?
Should 33 points win a Super Bowl?
No, not if the team got 34 or more.
Yes.
Jeez. One thing I know around here, though, the blame game. It never ends.
Because he don't want to give Philly no, he don't want to give the Eagles no credit. They
never
beat
ends around
they
here.
They beat it with a backup. Beat Tom Brady with a backup. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.